Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
I do thank you for listening today, and I appreciate every week when you tune in. I pray the message is a blessing to you. And I pray it would edify you and strengthen you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 tells us this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There is so much confusion today about sin in the life of a saved believer. I want to try to clear up some things, if I can, concerning this. First of all, we need to understand what sin is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Then sin is to transgress the law. So we know what that means, to break one of the commandments of God. James chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. A lot of people today say, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. But the Bible says, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. That means if we've ever bore false witness, we've committed adultery. If we've ever coveted, we've stolen. And there's 600 plus commandments beyond the Ten Commandments that you could transgress, and in any one point, you would be guilty of all the law. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So we've got a mentality among people today that claims, I'm a good person. Or as long as you do good and don't hurt anybody, you're going to be all right. But according to Paul, we're all under a curse, because you'd be cursed if you do not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And you couldn't even tell me all the things that are written in the book of the law. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that most people could not recite the Ten Commandments. So Paul continues in chapter 3, verse 11 of Galatians and says, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. You want to be counted good by keeping the law? Are you willing to stand before God and have him judge you according to his law? You would fail. You would never be justified in your flesh by the law. So the first thing we need to understand is that you cannot be justified by keeping the law, because we are sinners. But the good news is in verse 13. He writes, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you realize it was necessary that Jesus Christ die on a cross? Jesus Christ had to die on a tree in order that he could become a curse for us. He knew no sin, but we are cursed for having not kept all points of the law. So when Jesus Christ was crucified on the tree, that was the only death that could legally make him a curse in order for God the Father to impute our trespasses unto him. Therefore, Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. He says in verse 23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because we're transgressors of the law. And those who would tell you that you must keep the law in order to be saved do not believe their Bible. They couldn't keep the law if they wanted to. Paul writes in verse 19 of Romans chapter 3, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The next time somebody tries to impose the law upon you to be saved, you tell them that the law was written to shut their mouth, to show them they're guilty, to show you are a sinner and you need a Savior, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then we now know the purpose of the law. The law was given to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. The only way you can be saved is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. Romans chapter 6, again, where we started, says in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Well, how then does a person become dead to sin? Well, they would have to become dead to the law, and you are in Christ. Notice Galatians chapter 2. Paul says in Galatians 2 verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Paul is saying we cannot be justified by the law. And if we try to put ourselves back under the law after we're justified by the faith of Christ, we're building again the thing that was destroyed. He says in verse 19, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then righteousness is by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the law." We believe on Jesus Christ in order that we can be justified by the faith of Christ. And in believing, we become crucified with him. Therefore, you are counted as dead to the law. And if you're dead to the law, you're dead to sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 tells us, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." If you're in Christ Jesus, your flesh has been crucified and you're dead. You're dead to the law by the body of Christ. And that's not all. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus Christ triumphed over Satan and his principalities when he was crucified, and he nailed the law to the cross. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, and you have been forgiven all trespasses. Sometimes people have trouble understanding what the word "all" means. All means every single trespass. That would include the ones you do tomorrow, wouldn't it? I mean, Jesus Christ was crucified in the year 33 AD. All of your sins were in the future when he died. If he died to forgive you all trespasses, every sin you could ever commit was in the future. Therefore, that would include murder. That would include the most heinous crime you can imagine. Jesus Christ was crucified for it. He died for it. He was buried and raised again to show that you have been forgiven. There is no sin you can commit that Jesus Christ didn't forgive. And there is no sin you could commit as a saved person that can cause you to lose your salvation. You've already been forgiven all trespasses. People say, "Oh no, you get saved and God forgives all your past sins, but you've got to keep your end of the bargain." Well, God never made a bargain with anybody that I'm aware of. He never made a covenant with you, that's for certain. What he did say is he would receive you as a son if you would trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, the problem is in the law. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. Just as we saw earlier, by the law is the knowledge of sin. But you can't keep the law in order to not sin. Verse 8 continues, But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, such as thou shalt not covet, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Sin took occasion by the law, which was good and holy and just, and brought death to the individual, in this case Paul, who would do good. So the law could never justify you because of your flesh. Sin takes occasion of the law and slays you by it. But in Christ Jesus, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We are dead to the law by the body of Christ. So Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is the commandment that was found to be death unto Paul because of sin taken occasion by it. If there's no condemnation, that's because you've been forgiven all trespasses. If there's no condemnation, it's because you're no longer in the flesh. Verse 8 of Romans 8 says, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Do you realize you have the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ? When we come back after the song, I want to talk about being dead to sin by the body of Christ. We that are crucified rejoice and are grateful for the righteousness that we have by the faith of Jesus Christ.
He gave his only son so we could die with him and go down beneath and be buried and raised up again. I'm crucified with Christ, never live, yet not I but Christ within me, he took away my sin. The grateful dead to sin, faithful to your life is hid with Christ. His blood covers all sin we'll ever commit in life. Sealed with a promise, by grace through faith we're saved. And always we are grateful while we keep the faith. The grateful dead.
So then, Romans chapter 6 again, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then we are dead to sin by the body of Christ. We are baptized into his death, the Bible says, and we're going to be in his resurrection. Notice verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin? I don't mean you can't sin anymore. I mean that judicially speaking, God does not recognize you as a sinner any longer. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for enemies in Romans chapter 5. But he forgave you all trespasses. And those who believe on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have his righteousness imputed unto them. How can God see you as a sinner if he tells you to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin? The word reckon means to add it up. Count up the cost and realize that Jesus Christ paid the wages of sin. His blood was sufficient. He is a propitiation, a satisfactory sacrifice, and all your sins have been forgiven. So you're dead to sin. You're crucified with Christ. The body of sin is destroyed. The law is nailed to the cross. There's nothing left for you to do but serve the Lord, not out of fear of transgressing the law, but out of love and appreciation for what he did for you. When we get our eyes off of worrying about committing some sin that could cause us to lose our salvation, we can rejoice in the peace of knowing that we are eternally secure, and we can focus our attention on doing what God called you to do. How do we do that? Get in the Word of God. Study to see what His will is. It's His will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So if we spend our time carrying out the will of God, we don't have to worry about the sins of the flesh. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Praise God, if we can ever get a hold of the meaning of what grace truly is, we can understand that we received undeserved favor from God. We were sinners that deserved hell, deserved wrath, but God loved us. He gave His Son for us. He shed His blood for us, and we've been forgiven all trespasses. We reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, so that we can walk worthy of the calling and not yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness. We don't have to let sin reign in our mortal body. Sin dwells in your mortal body, and that won't change until the Lord takes you out of this world. You are still a sinner. You're simply saved by grace. You're still going to sin, but you don't need to let sin reign, R-E-I-G-N, rule over you. Don't let it have dominion over you. That's what that means. How can we do that? By recognizing that we're not under the law. We're dead to the law by the body of Christ. If I see myself judicially as dead indeed unto sin, I can quit worrying about sin. I can quit worrying about transgressing the law. I can take myself out from under the bondage of the law, and I could serve the Lord Jesus Christ in grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Well, if we were dead in sins, and Jesus Christ has quickened us together and raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places, how could he have already done that, past tense, if you could sin and lose your salvation? He couldn't have done that unless you are dead indeed unto sin. So why don't you reckon it to yourself? Why do you continue to live your life believing that you've committed some sin and now you're out of fellowship with the Lord, or God won't hear my prayer, or I've failed to keep my end of the bargain, or some nonsense that a man or woman put in your head that is not out of the Word of God? If they went and grabbed it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, because you can't keep the doctrine that was commanded to the 12 for Israel. You need to follow your apostle. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ." And he told you that you've been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Judicially, you're already there. That's because judicially you're dead to sin. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you believe that you're keeping your salvation by not sinning, sin is transgression of the law. In effect, you're saying you're keeping the law. And salvation is not of works, and works are keeping the law. What you're going to do is, if you got to heaven through not sinning, you would boast in eternity that I'm here because I didn't sin. That is an abomination in the sight of God. It says, "By grace are you saved through faith." Why don't you put that pride away and accept the fact that if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are dead indeed unto sin. You're not going to quit sinning. Just account it to be judicially so and serve him. Verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Then good works come after you're saved. And it's not keeping the law, it's carrying out the purpose of God, which is to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you're spending your time trying to keep yourself from sinning, your focus is directed inward. You are self-absorbed. But if you're recognizing that you're dead indeed unto sin, if you reckon it to be so, then you can concentrate on the things of God and walk in the Spirit. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. You've been called by grace. Walk worthy of grace. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbids that. Salvation by grace is not permission to go live a sinful life. Salvation by grace was done in order that we should walk worthy, that we should walk in good works. God ordained that we should do that. Is that what you're doing? Or are you spending your time under the law? If you're under the law, you're fallen from grace. Why don't you accept the fact that you're dead indeed unto sin if you're in Christ Jesus? That you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that Christ dwelleth in you. It's just like that old hymn says, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." The greatest freedom you'll ever know is to realize finally that your sins are forgiven and you're dead to sin. You don't have to concern yourself with sin any longer. You can just get an arm lock on this old flesh, bring it under subjection, so that you can do the things that God would have you do, and quit worrying about failing every time you turn around. Quit worrying about what God thinks about you. God thinks of you as being his child and in his son. Isn't the real truth of the matter that we worry about what other people think about us? When did you come to the end of yourself and stop worrying about what other people think about you? Be concerned about what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about you. Care enough about what he thinks to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit and with all your heart. For Christ's sake, I thank you for listening. You've been listening to Believing the Bible, every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services at the Silver Center, 510 Court Street, here in Seguin. We would love to have you come and join us. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.